All right, people, let's for our final hymn tonight before the message, let's open up to hymn number 3. Hymn number 3 tonight is a really awesome old hymn of the faith. Wonderful words of life. That's what they are. The words of Scripture. Wonderful words of life. Let's stand and we'll sing the first and the second. Amen. Yes.
Sing them over again to me, a wonderful words of life. Let me more of the beauty see, a wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sing a list to the loving call of wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Words of life and
beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. Praise the Lord, beloved. What a blessing to have received those beautiful words of life into our lives. Amen. At one point in your life, you came to Jesus and you received those wonderful, beautiful words that bring eternal life. Oh, what a blessing that is. Yes, indeed. What a blessing that is. All right, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight. And please open up to, we'll sing again afterward. Please open up to the book of Revelation once again. Revelation. And tonight, church, tonight we come to Revelation chapter 9. As we continue our studies on the tribulation period, this week we're on the tribulation period, part six, and we're going to look at the first woe judgment tonight. It's found in Revelation chapter 9, the first 12 verses. And beloved, it's the fifth trumpet judgment, but it's the first woe judgment, the first of three woe judgments. Now, let me say this, beloved, before we get going tonight, Revelation chapter 9. In my opinion, having read the Bible cover to cover over 400 times, Revelation chapter 9 is the single most horrifying chapter in all the Bible. The things that are described by John's pen through the Holy Ghost in this chapter, I mean, Hollywood could never match what is written here. This is, it's unimaginable. But it's real, and it's going to happen during the tribulation period. So buckle your spiritual seatbelts tonight as we come to Revelation chapter 9. Let's read for the stand for the reading of God's holy word. And we're going to look tonight at one of the woe judgments, the first, which is the fifth trumpet judgment. Look with me in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it. And they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running into battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. I want to speak to you tonight on the woe, on the first woe judgment. Beloved, Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. And Lord, as we delve into chapter 9, oh God, this is serious business. The wrath of God that will be poured out upon planet Earth during the 7-year tribulation period is indescribable in human words. Lord, the suffering, the torture, the torment, the anguish, the pain, the horror that will take place on this planet is almost unimaginable. But Lord, we thank you for your word tonight that portrays these things for us so graphically, so clearly, and so literally, that, Lord, it's unmistakable what's going to take place. And Father, we thank you tonight that we have the knowledge of God. We know what's coming in the future because we know the Bible. And Lord, help us to warn as many as we can in these last days to flee from the wrath to come. And help us to do it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, beloved, as the fifth trumpet blows, the first of three incredible woe judgments begins. Now, a number of things I want to call your attention to concerning this first woe judgment, which is the fifth trumpet judgment. 11 things, all told. I'll be quick. First, notice how this judgment begins. Verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. First of all, this star is not a star. What? It's not a star like you see in the starry sky at night. It's an angel. But it's not any ordinary angel. It's a fallen angel. Look what he says, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star, an angel. What's the next word? Fall. Fall from heaven. He's a fallen angel. He's one of Satan's hosts. And now, he's not an holy angel, he's not an elect angel, he's an evil angel, and he falls. He's evil, and he's going to unleash evil demonic creatures onto the earth, people. Look with me in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. You know that Satan's got a whole bunch of evil fallen angels, and they're real, and they do bad things. Like Genesis chapter 6, we looked at that a few weeks back in Jude. The sin of the fallen angels producing the Nephilim. But look here in Revelation chapter number 12. Verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And the moon was under her feet. And upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. Now this is Israel. We all know this is Israel, the elect nation. And she has 12 stars. That's the 12 patriarchs. Amen. The 12 sons of Jacob, and they represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, notice here, verse 2, and she, being with child, Messiah child, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered, And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. We all know who that is. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail, the dragon's tail, drew the third part of the what?
Stars of heaven.
That's not talking about celestial stars out there in the second heavens. That's speaking about angels, folks. His tail drew the third part of the stars, the angels of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the now I'll show you why it means angels. And the dragon stood before the woman, Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. He tried to do that through Herod, issuing an edict that all of the male children under 2 years of age in Bethlehem should be murdered. And they were. But Jesus wasn't there. Amen? Lord got him out. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael, that's the archangel, the holy elect archangel of God. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. See, he's got fallen angels under his authority. And they do what he says. Like this one in Revelation chapter 9, coming down with the key. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels with him. Where is his angels going? To the earth. You see that? Folks, the Nephilim are coming back during the tribulation period. It's going to happen Genesis chapter 6 all over again, I'm telling you. And his angels were cast out with him to the earth. Now, first of all, in chapter 9, we see how this judgment begins. A fallen angel comes down from heaven with a key. And it's a key to the bottomless pit. Secondly, observe what he has in his hand. Verse 1. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, the fact that this fallen angel of Satan was given this key indicates that the sovereign God of heaven is allowing this evil angel to unleash his hordes of satanic monstrosities upon the earth. Why? Why God's so mean? They say, oh, he's so mean and cruel. He's going to let these satanic monstrosities out on the earth to torment us. Why? Why would he do that? What has the world done to him?
They thumbed their nose at them.
That's right, Marion. They rejected his son, and they still thumb his nose at him. So he's going to say, okay, you want a world without my son? Here you go.
Yeah.
And he has delegated authority to unleash the hordes of evil angels that are entrapped right now in the center of the earth, the bottomless pit. Now, thirdly, notice what this key unlocks. Verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, how can you have a bottomless pit in the center of the earth? This pit is spoken of in both testaments of Scripture in great detail. Go with me to Ezekiel 31. Ezekiel 31. Folks, the only way that you can have a bottomless pit in the earth is if you had in the center of the earth a cavity, a pit, a cave in the center of the earth. Now, somebody tell me, what is the earth doing right now, Mike? It is, of course, it's spinning on its own axis. We know that. It's also hurling through space at 67,000 miles an hour. So this bottomless pit in the center of the earth, picture it. Now, if you go to China, you got gravity. If you go to Australia, you got gravity. In America here, we have gravity, right? Gravity is all around the world, all pulling toward the center of the earth. So if you had a pit in the center of the earth, it would be at zero gravity. You'd have no ground to stand on. Literally, you'd be floating in the center of that earth. And it would be a bottomless pit because it would have no bottom. What you thought was the bottom, wait half an hour, and that would be up here on the side because it's spinning. You see? It's got no bottom. Okay, enough said. Ezekiel chapter 31, we see this pit throughout Scripture. Look at it. In Ezekiel 31, look at verse 3. Behold, the who? Assyrian. Who does the Assyrian always point to prophetically? Antichrist. We know that. The Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud, of an high stature, and his top was amongst the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him up on high, with their rivers running round about his plants, sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. He's ruling the whole world here. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field. He became numero uno in the world. He ruled the world, tribulation period. And his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven, those are demons, made their nest in his boughs. Yeah, he's full of demons. And under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young. And under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Now, folks, this person, whoever this is speaking of, he rules the entire world. Okay? He's coming. Very shortly, he's coming. Thus was he fair in his greatness in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. Now, look at this. Some more hints about who he is. The seed is in the garden of God, that's Eden, could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden, the garden of Eden, that were in the garden of God, envied him. This was before his fall, right? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and it's shot up his top amongst the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height. Pride was his sin. I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him. Upon the mountains and in all the valleys his branches have fallen, and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land. And all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him. Antichrist is coming to ruin. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven, demons, remain. And all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of the trees by the waters exalt themselves. Drop down with me to verse 15. Verse 14, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top amongst the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height, all that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death. All of this guy's people are delivered to death, those who took his mark. To the nether parts of the earth, that's nether, that's beneath, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the what?
To the pit.
The pit. That's the bottomless pit. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. They couldn't believe that the world leader, Antichrist, was destroyed. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell, with them that descend into the pit. Notice, hell is in the pit. And all the trees of the Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, and all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. That's down below. They also went down into the hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword. That sword's coming out of Messiah's mouth. And they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness amongst the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised, unregenerate, with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Now, go to chapter 32. We'll see it again. This pit is spoken of over and over and over. Chapter 32, look at verse 18. Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt. And cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. 23, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. 24, there is Elam in all her multitude round about her. Grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. 25, they have also set her a bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Though their terror was caused in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. He is put in the midst of them that be slain. There is Meshach, starts naming them all. Verse 27, they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war, down to the pit. 28, thou shalt be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised. 29, they were slain by the sword. They lied with the uncircumcised, with them that go down to the pit. 30, they are Zidonians, which are gone down with the slain, with their terror. They are ashamed of their might. They, with them that be slain by the sword, and bear their shame, with them that go down to the pit. Notice that people that go to hell will bear their shame of their sin forever. Pharaoh shall see them, and shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army, slain by the sword, saith the Lord God. For I have caused my terror. Notice verse 32. No longer the Antichrist's terror, no longer his army's terror. I have caused my terror, the Lord says, in the land of the living. And he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Go to Revelation chapter 20. This pit is spoken of over and over and over in the Word of God. It's real and it's below us. It's in the center of the earth. The Bible clarifies that many times, even in the Old Testament. It says, if I should dig down into hell, thou art there. Chapter 20 of Revelation. Look with me at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years in the pit. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, go back before Revelation to the little book of Jude. This pit is spoken of over and over and over in Jude. Look with me at verse 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, that was in heaven, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Notice in verse 6, it says that these evil angels are reserved in the pit, under darkness, they're chained up, unto the judgment of the great day. See, some of them are going to be released upon the earth during the tribulation period, the day of judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look with me at verse 4. This pit. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, evil angels, fallen angels, but cast them down to hell, the pit, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment, he did. And they're still there today. Okay, fourthly tonight, quickly. That's a bottomless pit. Observe the third worldwide blackout. Back in Revelation chapter 9, we have the third universal blackout on planet Earth. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. I always picture, when I read this verse, I always picture a great volcano like Mount St. Helens erupting, and it darkened the sky for miles, a long way. Look, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, this pit is enormous because the smoke that comes out of it causes a universal worldwide blackout where you can't see anything at all. This is actually the third of five worldwide blackouts that will occur during the seven-year tribulation period. Imagine, if you will, being on earth during the tribulation period, the evil angel opens the bottomless pit, but before these creatures that we're going to look at in detail here in a minute, before they come to attack you, you find yourself in pitch blackness. You don't see them coming. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in. You know what kids are most afraid of? The dark. The dark. People are afraid with the dark. They still put the light on because they're afraid of the dark. This is pitch blackness, and here come these monsters to torture you. What? How horrific is this passage, beloved? Fifthly, tonight, notice what comes out of the pit. Verse 3, don't miss this. What comes out of this pit? Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon earth. Now, they're not little cute little grasshoppers that you can pick up and play with like I did when I was a kid and squish them and all the brown molasses comes out. No. I don't want to gross you ladies out too badly. But these are big. You can't pick them up. They're the size of a horse. We're going to see that here. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, what we have here taking place, beloved, is the first of two worldwide demonic invasions on planet Earth. These locust-like creatures are actually fallen angels. Are you listening? They're fallen angels who will have power to torture men with unspeakable torment for a long time. Notice their command. Sixthly, observe their command. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Don't worry about your lawn, boys. Neither any green thing, neither any tree. You'll still have apples, trees, and all that. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, here in verse 4, these evil monstrosities are forbidden from harming any vegetation on planet Earth. But they can only harm men, human beings. Why? Think. The grass didn't hurt God. The trees didn't rebel against God. Nature didn't rebel against its creator. Man did. So man is going to suffer the wrath of God. Seventhly, notice the duration of their commission. Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. 5 months, that's 150 days. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. They say there's no worse pain in the world than the strike of a scorpion. Oh my goodness, could you imagine? But these are giants. And we're going to see their giant stings in a minute here. Observe here that they do not kill their victims. They only torture them with excruciating pain to the point where they seek death in order to end the torment, but they can't die. Also, notice who will not be affected. Look at verse 4. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Said, don't you touch anyone that has the seal of God in their foreheads. See that? Who are they? Look at verse, go to chapter 7. We saw this. Look at verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This is who they are. And I heard the number of them, servants of God, which were sealed in their foreheads. And they were sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. These monsters cannot touch the servants of God. I love that. They can walk right up to them. Nah, you can't touch me. And they can't. They know better. They're commanded not to touch. Imagine being stung by a giant scorpion, beloved. My next door neighbor in Colorado, we were on the mission field, and this guy was like a Satanist, man. He was bad news. Came out of the pen, and this stupid neighbor of ours, lady, invited, you know, shack up with me, you know, he went into shack up with her. He had a pet scorpion, a black one. You want to see something nasty, man? Oh my goodness, I couldn't stand to look at the thing. I said, man, what do you got a scorpion for? He says, oh, I like watching it kill mice. This guy was sadistic. Jimmy's laughing. This guy was sadistic, man. But this is just, it was big for a scorpion. It was like 4 inches, about this long. And his tail curled up. Yeah. Man, you don't want to get, he said, don't touch it. Don't go near it. I said, don't trust me. I'm not going anywhere near it, brother. Nasty. But these are giant scorpions. Eighthly tonight, observe the attempted mass suicide. Back to our text, chapter 9. Look at verse 6. Attempted mass suicide. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. You cannot commit suicide at this time. Why? What are they suffering? The wrath of God for their rejection of Jesus Christ. Right. He's not going to let them off the hook. See that? And when these things strike them, I don't know how long they'll be on them with that stinger in their body. Imagine go up the spine. Oh my goodness. You want to talk about some pain? Anybody ever had a spinal tap? Woo. We're talking serious. Oh man, I imagine they go right in the spine. I don't know. I'm guessing. Wherever's the most painful, probably in there. And it's, look at that. And they can't kill themselves. No matter what they do, they won't die. Because they're suffering God's wrath. And he's going to make them drink of that cup. Ninthly, notice their horrific description. Verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. Big ones. Prepared unto battle. You ever seen a war horse? They're muscular. They're strong. They're workhorses. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. You can't hurt them. And the sound of their wings was as the they fly. Hey, folks, can you imagine? Time out. Can you imagine? You look up. Once you can see again from the blackout. Once you can see again, you look up and you see one of these creatures flying by with a guy in its cap, in its captured, with this guy flying overhead with the guy. Ah! I'm serious, man. This is what the Bible says. They can fly. You can't outrun them. You see? You run, they just fly and swoop down on you like an eagle catching its prey. I imagine they'll pick you up and carry you up to feed their young. I don't know. Look at it. Verse 9. They had breastplates of iron. Sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running into battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And I'll never forget the sight of that scorpion. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, notice here. Imagine one of these beasts showing up at your front door. Open up, please. No, I won't. The door's locked. Okay, I'll just kick it in. You can't stop them from coming in. They're going to take you and they're going to torment you if you don't know Jesus Christ. Now, folks, Hollywood couldn't even dream up what we're reading about in chapter 9. They couldn't portray it. There's no way they could do justice to this. Listen. The Bible tells us clearly what these things are. Beloved, as we have seen before, it is not unusual at all for demons and other angelic beings to have animal-like features. We see this throughout the Bible. Notice their wings in verse 9, indicating their ability to fly in the heaven. Imagine seeing one of these creatures flying around, ready to attack you, grasping a victim and carrying it off. Whoa! That's why they're called the woe judgments. Notice in verse 9, a gun won't help you. Look at verse 9. And they had breastplates of iron. What are you going to do? Shoot them with your 22? Boop! BB gun. Pop, bounce right off, man. I don't care if you got 45 like Mike, and his 45 is mighty powerful. It's a Ruger. It won't hurt them at all, you see? They've got breastplates of iron. You can't hurt them. And imagine their bite. Look at verse 8. They had hair as the hair of a woman. I imagine long, flowing, blonde hair. With these ugly creatures. Isn't that bizarre? Look at verse 8. And their teeth were as teeth of lions. You've seen a lion's teeth? That thing will chew you up and spit you out in pieces. Those teeth are like 4 inches. I mean, those fangs on a lion and the power of their jaws, they literally bite your arm off. When a lion bites you. They don't just, you know, nibble. They do damage. Now look here. Tenthly, almost done. Observe their leader. Verse 11. Notice their leader. And verse 11. And they had a king over them. These creatures. Time out, church. Before we look at their leader. Let me make a statement here. People have said to me. Preachers even have said to me. Brother Oliver. You take Revelation chapter 9 literally. Yeah, I do. Why would you take a passage like this, which is obviously spiritual, it's just invisible demons. Why would you take it literally? And I say this to him. I say, it's only spiritual, huh? I said, well, what causes the worldwide blackout? If the smoke is literal, so are the locusts, bud. What do you mean? Spiritual. The world goes black from literal smoke. Comes out of a literal pit. And literal creatures come up. You have to take the Bible literally unless it informs you it's speaking parabolically or allegorically or spiritually. This is literal, folks. This is how I teach it, because it is. Look at this. Tenthly, observe their leader in verse 11. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. In case you don't speak one or the other, I want to give you to you both. You know what that name means? Apollyon? Abaddon? Begins with a D.
Devil?
Destruction. His name means he's king of destruction. Same as perdition. Son of perdition, son of destruction. That's what it means. That's his name. Apollyon. Abaddon. He brings destruction. Now, his name is given in both Greek and Hebrew in the KJV English. He's the king of destruction. Go to Job chapter 41. I want to show you this king of destruction in the Old Testament. I love how the Bible, we need the whole thing, not just portions. All the Bible is applicable. Look in Job chapter 41. I want to show you the same guy. Job 41, question. Job, canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Now, to go down, he's in the pit, right? You got to go down to hook him. Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? He's saying, can you make peace with the devil and with his Antichrist? No way, man. He only wants your soul. Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? I don't think so. He's too strong for you. Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Chew him up and cut him up and cook him? Nope. Shall they pack him amongst the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons? What if you had a whale, a harpoon? It won't even penetrate. Look, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? It's a fire-breathing dragon. And none is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine, God says. I will not conceal his parts. He's going to reveal who this is. Nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? You're going to bridle him like a horse? I don't think so. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. So one is so near to another that no air can come between them. The scales on this thing. You can't penetrate the scales. They are joined one to another. They stick together that it cannot be sundered. By his neesings. Neesings comes out of your nostrils. A light doth shine. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth goeth burning lamps. He's a fire-breathing dragon. Sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, and out of the seething pot a cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, red hot, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, rock. Nay, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. He's got a hardened heart. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. You can't hurt him. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things under the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him. It's a glow, a fiery glow. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He fears nothing but God. He beholdeth all high things. Those are principalities and powers of darkness, folks. I don't have time to show you that. He's in control of all powers of darkness. Look at it, verse 34. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. That's the king of the bottomless pit. Back to our text. Look at this. This is incredible. He is their leader. He is their king. And look at this. God hates pride. That was the devil's sin, and that's what he gets men to do, be prideful, proud, boasters, and God hates it. Finally, tonight, observe the end of the fifth trumpet judgment, which is the first woe judgment. Look at verse 12. One woe is past. Finally, after 5 months, the torment ends. Wow. Some relief for the earth dwellers. Nope. Look at verse 12. No relief. Verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more. No relief. The second woe. Listen, folks, what we've seen tonight, next week, we're going to see verses 13 through 21 of chapter 9. It's worse than what we just saw. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. Now, I sure am glad, beloved, that you and I will not be here for these horrifying judgments upon the earth, because we love Jesus Christ. We're saved. We're born again. We're children of the King of Kings. Amen? The right King. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the fifth trumpet judgment, the first woe judgment. How horrifying it is. And Lord, one thing this text does to us tonight, it absolutely compels us to warn the lost before it's too late. That time is running out. And if you find yourself in this ugly mess, you will eternally regret it. Lord Jesus, I pray that we'd get some souls saved this week. We'd give out gospel tracts. We'd witness for thee. We'd tell people there is a Savior. Jesus is his name. There is a tribulation period coming. Antichrist and his ugly bunch. And there is the wrath of God to avoid. And the only way to escape it is through Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be your servants. I love how it says the servants of the living God were sealed and they were unharmed by these judgments. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you that we are your sealed servants, sealed by your Holy Spirit. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand for a closing hymn tonight. Open up to hymn number 60. Hymn number 60. And we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Incredible things we see in the Bible. Boy, oh boy. Yes, indeed. So glad he's our shepherd, church.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Watch we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use thy most prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. We
heart, I knew thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. On the fourth early let us sing thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill.
Amen!
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Amen. Praise the Lord that He loves us. Brother Mark, dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, if you can be here Wednesday night, we're going to be back in the book of Jude. And it's been getting good. Brother Mark?
Yes, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this.
Yes, Lord.
This night. And if you were to provide us with a good church, I would have nowhere to go. And bless you for all of us here in the preaching, and to have a good evening, and to set up for a good week for us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. For